champion of Indigenous language to be farewelled, and Sorry Day was marked at the weekend. Hello, I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. Family and friends are mourning the loss of a Murray community linguist and educator who passed away earlier this month. Yagara Darlingborough woman Auntie Jeannie Bell was known for her extraordinary contribution to preserving and teaching Aboriginal languages. She worked in Alice Springs in the early 80s, teaching linguistics and training interpreters with the Institute of Aboriginal Development. Miss Bell had a number of works published, including her first book, Talking About Celia, which tells the story of life in Brisbane in the 1950s and 60s through the eyes of a strong Aboriginal woman. Many of her other works included publications around the languages and culture of Aboriginal people in southeast Queensland, including historical dictionaries of the Gubbi Gubbi and Budjalar languages. Auntie Jeannie's son, Damien, says she put a lot of work into her own development and loved helping others.
I think about, all the people that she's touched and helped, and, you know, because language is connection, I guess, to your mob, and you know, a lot of people have been just moved around and stuff, and you know, and once people knew that mum was in the language and that sort of stuff, So, I mean, I just, the people that she helped and the amount of work and effort that she put in, really, like for her own personal growth, she was always, you know, wanting to educate herself and just her energy.
The mother, sister and grandmother passed away earlier this month following a long battle with dementia. Auntie Jeannie Patricia Bell will be farewelled at a service today in Mount Gravatt, Brisbane, and her wake will be held at Musgrave Park. National Sorry Day was marked yesterday, as well as 27 years since the landmark Bringing Them Home report was delivered. National Sorry Day was first observed in 1998 following the landmark Bringing Them Home report, which brought to light the harrowing experiences of Indigenous children forcibly removed from their families under government policies.
For the pain, suffering and hurt of these stolen generations, their descendants and for their families left behind, we say sorry.
In 2008, then Prime Minister Kevin Rudd delivered a formal apology on behalf of the Australian government, a pivotal moment in a journey towards healing and reconciliation. But 16 years later, advocates say there's a sense of impatience amongst stolen generation survivors.
I think people have been very patient waiting for a number of these things to happen. I mean, you know, you have to be pretty patient to wait from 1997 for some of these things to be done. And as I said, with the milestone of most of the survivors now going into the over 50s bracket, now there is a time imperative. We want people to be, you know, enjoy a quality of life that might not have had in their later years. We're reliant on governments to work with us to do that.
That's Healing Foundation Chair and Gungurrika man Stephen Larkin speaking to NIRS News. More than 600 people are believed to be dead after a landslide in Papua New Guinea on Friday. The UN says 150-plus homes may also be under 6 to 8 metres of debris. Australian Defence and Pacific Minister Pat Conroy says the government is ready to provide any assistance.
Papua New Guineans have helped us in bushfires and floods and obviously during World War II, and we stand ready to repay that debt by providing any assistance they require.
Meanwhile, tribal warfare nearby is threatening aid workers from getting help to the region. We'll have more coming up next.
Now, more than ever, we need to continue the fight for justice and the rights of First Nations people.
We need change.
We need connection.
We need respect.
We need truth-telling.
Now, more than ever, we need to come together for National Reconciliation Week from the 27th of May to the 3rd of June. For more information, go to reconciliation.org.au. Program sponsor.
To sport, and the 20th Dreamtime at the G was played at the MCG over the weekend.
20 years, it's gone pretty quickly. Look, I love the fact that the long walk and, you know, football and Dreamtime been a great partnership, and it's something we want to build on for next year with all clubs, that they have a presence here and past players.
That's Bombers AFL legend Michael Long speaking to 7 News. The game between Essendon and Richmond has become a staple on the AFL calendar. To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au.
You're not sure who to turn to for legal advice? Want someone who knows what you and your mob need? Need to find someone you can trust. Koromarawa Law. They are the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm and the legal advisor of choice for government, business and traditional owner groups in the commercial and Indigenous law sector. They are 100% Indigenous owned and help their clients with the right advice in native title, joint ventures, leasing, property and lots more. Choose a law firm that understands you, Marawa Law. Visit marawalaw.com.au or call today on 07 404 130 88.
Station sponsor. Little things, big things grow.
For our children, we all walk together to keep our children safe, strong and connected to culture. Community organisations you trust are here to walk with you and can provide family wellbeing services for families and children of all ages. To find free and confidential support near you, search Family Wellbeing Services. Because when it comes to our children, we all walk together. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev. Going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Station radio station here in Cairns and Yidinji country, BBM Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, we're going to catch up with Jungle G. He's got a new single out, Gummy Bummera. And we're going to have a listen to it, but we'll have a yarn to the lad first, singer-songwriter, talk about this fantastic new single, and then we'll share it with you, Deadly Mob. And we've got Jungle G on the line. Jungle G, good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, brother. Big Watermooli. Wanted to all the deadly, beautiful listeners from up that way and around the country. No way.
To Deadly, my brother. And before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
No way. I'm a Gubbi Yalanji. Gubbi Yalanji, very government man. Strong connections to all that way past Mackay up to southern parts of Cape York. But, just proud to be talking to
you. Yeah, my brother.
Listen to this music.
Yeah, too dearly, brother. Where are you based at the moment? Where are you, brother?
So I'm in Kapi Kapi country. I'm at Mooloolaba Beach.
All right, beautiful.
I've got the beautiful surf and I've got a chest infection, but other than that, I'm just trying to just come good, nice
stay strong. Stay strong. Brother, tell me about your new single, Gummy Bummera. So tell us about Gummy Bummera and how it came about and the meaning behind it, my brother.
Yes, Gummy Bummera means grandson or our grandkids. That's what we call it, grandkids. And Bummera means story. So Gummy Bummera, grandson story.
Yeah.
It's about, the importance of passing on the spears to the grannies. Under my circumstances, I did lose their father.
Mm.
And this song highlights and illuminates mental health and suicide and all those sad things that unfortunately mire our community. But this song highlights his connection to them babies and how he's there but spiritually to protect and navigate the road for them.
Yeah, that's powerful, brother. That's powerful. And you're using words, you're using song, you're using music to do it, brother. Deliver the message. So important, that message. So, Gummy Bummera. Language come from where, brother? Gugu Yalanji?
Yeah, that's Gugu Yalanji language.
All right, brother.
As I said, that Bummera is a big story. And it's a big, it's of importance.
Sure.
That we carry that law. And their song lines and what we've been taught very, very seriously.
Mm.
You know, particularly these days and stuff within the matrix that we coexist in,
Yeah, for sure. And Jungle G, so you are travelling around, you're a singer-songwriter, wherever you are, you're writing your songs and you're singing your songs and putting it out there. So it's your financial vehicle, or you got a job on top of that, or what are you doing there, my brother?
I wear many creative hats, brother.
Yes, yes.
So I'm doing my visual art at the moment too, just further enhancing that and how to navigate particularly that world, which I'm kind of, you know, it's foreign territory.
Mm.
But I've been gigging. I do beautiful workshops, you know, just with many different people.
Sure.
Yeah, man, and I'm gigging at the moment, so it's self-sustained.
Mm.
It's a beautiful, beautiful life to actually live rather than just exist, all due respect to people out there who hold it down with 9 to 5s and stuff, but to be doing what I'm doing 30 years later, like, it's a big apprenticeship, it's a long apprenticeship within the industry that can be quite fickle.
Yes.
But to come out and still maintaining and sustaining a, you know, equitable but also, you know, spiritual and cultural existence. And it's educating the border community, but you know what it's like as a councillor up there.
Exactly,
you know,
my brother.
To educate and have truthful conversations.
So with true,
I get to have those conversations on stage, you know?
Yeah, too, Dilly, brother. Fantastic. Well, we're going to play it there for the mob now, the Dilly listeners out there. Gummy Bummera by Jungaji. Too, Dilly, my brother. You travel safe. Stay strong. Look after yourself, sure. And we'll yarn soon, my brother. But thank you so very much for allowing Bummer Bipper Media to play Gummy Bummera, and we'll put it out there. And this is your new single, my brother. So to all our listeners out there, do enjoy. And my brother, we'll talk soon. Jungaji.
Blessings, my brother, and to your family too. Thank you, brother.
Take care, bro. Bye-bye.
You're right. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Too, Dilly, beautiful yarn there with Jungaji, and look, here's his new track, Gummy Bummera, and from the Kuku Yalanji mob there, language up that way, and it's about looking after grandchildren, you know, and listen to the story and stay strong. That's what it's all about. So do take a listen, you mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Bummer Bipper Media, BBM 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So take a listen, Gummy Bummera, Too Deadly.
Eko kukuri jenga mima wawe yon kare moko ya lawa yon nunganan nuna wakana ma eyo.
Berikan padamu. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry, call in on 1-800-422-416. 98.7 FM BBM.
It's your boy MSP. Ecole. I ask that for worry. Worry be long, I like a semi. Ecole, take me go.
Bye. gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, you mob, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumabrib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, and a big shout out to the NERS team. Look, it is International Nurses Day and International Day of Midwives is what we're talking about. Champion Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives, a very important space. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with the CEO of CASANAM, that's the Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives, Dr. Ali Drummond. On the line, Dr. Ali, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor, and good morning to your listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. And before we start, Dr. Ali, can you let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, please?
Definitely. Yeah, I grew up on Waibini on Thursday Island. My people are from the Eastern Islands there, Torres Strait. Miriam, Dorib, Erubam people of the East, and Wurundjeri people there of Cape York. I'm currently on Ngunnawal Ngambri country, and that's where I'm calling from today.
Lovely. Thank you very much, and big shout out to all your mob. And look, a very important conversation here, talking about International Nurses Day and International Day of Midwives. So championing Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives, looking after our brothers and sisters who work in this space. And you've been the CEO of CASANAM. Look, a very important day and acknowledgement, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we celebrate the fact that I think nursing and midwifery was one of the first professions to let our mob in the doors to train in the hospitals in those days.
Yes.
And so we have a history in the profession that goes back to the early 1900s of mob, really, I think, pushing their way through the door to become nurses and midwives. So that's a long history we have of fighting to get in, but also fighting for that health justice within hospital health services too.
And we continue today in the 21st century. I know a lot of our mob are enrolling in courses and degrees as nurses and midwives across all universities. So the numbers are looking good for the future as well?
Yeah, look, I think we've got a long way to go. I think what usually happens in workforce aims, we try to get that parity. We're trying to get like 3.5% of above 3% of workforce participation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. I think we're about 1.4% of Australian nursing and midwifery nurses are sorry, 1.4% of Australia's nursing and midwives are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and so we are still trying to push for those numbers. But we have over 6,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives, and a lot more students in the pipeline.
Fantastic. Well, they're good numbers, but there's room for more, of course. Let's talk about the space of racism. We need to stamp it out across the board, on the sporting field, in schools, in the workplace. Is there protection there with our nurses and midwives? I mean, because we've got so-called matrioners, people working up in the hospitals. A lot of them non-Indigenous, and a lot of them don't have the cultural awareness education. And so then there's that idea of I'm your boss, I'm higher than you, and low degrading. That sort of form that needs to be stamped out. There's protection there for our nurses and midwives, Doctor?
Yeah, I think we're in a better place at the moment with sort of protection for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives. There's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
I think if you look at the stories of the older ones, that really had to fight the system to get into training and to not experience as much racism in hospital services, health services, but also in the education sector.
Yes.
There is way less of that experience of overt racism. So that's racism. People say things to your face, or you know, there is that very obvious expressions of racism. It's more subtle these days, where people, you know, might say, you know, offhand comments or joke about that. So, you know, there are reports of that sort of racism from our members still. But I think importantly is thinking about how racism is enabled, hey, in these systems. Mm. So, and I think in a very, I guess, obvious place to look is how systems like hospital health services, how they deal with complaints about racism. Mm.
Yes.
How serious do they take these complaints? Who do they side with? They side with the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander, the nurse and midwife who's complaining about, or do they side with the other person and say, oh, well, that was just a joke? You know, so there's still a system challenges, and you know, individuals make up those systems as well. So there's still concerns there. I think where we have made a lot of headway is in the regulation space. So for nursing and midwifery and other health professional groups, there's a national regulation body for each of us.
Yeah.
Ours is in the Nursing and Midwifery Board of Australia, and we've worked with them for years. And so now there's sort of mechanisms through them, so we can complain to them about racism that is experienced by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses, midwives and students,
yes,
but also patients. So if patients do experience racism, they can now contact the Nursing Midwifery Board of Australia and complain to them about the racism that they've experienced. So there are those sort of national mechanisms. I think we really need health services like Queensland Health, like New South Wales Ministry of Health, to look at how do they deal with racism within their organisation,
sure,
and how they take it seriously.
Exactly. And we need to take it seriously, of course, you know. So there's a platform there for support for our nurses and midwives, which is fantastic. Let's talk men and women. For nursing, midwives, men and women, yes?
We have men in nursing and midwifery. So I think we're a small number of them, so there's only 10% of us. So only a small number of us, but I think what the research tells us generally is that men tend to be attracted to those leadership roles, so there's more men in those leadership roles.
Sure.
But, yeah, there's definitely that gender difference. And I think what we'd like to see more is more men in the nursing workforce in particular, because there is just, you know, these different contexts that need that gendered recognition of that gendered approach to health. And I think about men's health, but there's also, you know, other areas as well, so primary health care, where, you know, there can be programs that are more focused on men, that we know that, you know, if you have men professionals working in those roles, I think those relationships are easier to develop, and sometimes that safety that the community feels, the patient feels, is there because it's, you know, they recognize sort of that genderedness. So even though sort of nursing, midwifery have sort of been more recent roles, I think we've always recognized in our communities the importance of gendered roles, having,
yes,
sort of, you know, for at certain times, not all the time, at certain times, gendered roles. And I think thinking about women and midwifery too, you know, thinking about what knowledge and experience from being women in our communities can bring to that role, because it again comes back to those relationships that they have with other women,
exactly,
and the understanding of the experiences of growing up as a woman in our communities. I think those I think those gendered understandings are so important,
so important
to making the most of our the impact that we can have, I think, in those models.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I want to give a big shout out to all our beautiful nurses out there and our midwives, champion Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives for the International Nurses Day and International Day of Midwives. Fantastic. And thank you very much for your yarn, Dr. Ali. All the best to you and your team. And we'll yarn soon, Dr. Ali.
No, as well. Thank you, Trevor.
And Big Yawo, we yarn soon. That's all. Beautiful yarn there. That's Dr. Ali Drummond, Kasanam, CEO, Kasanam Conference of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives. And we are talking about champion Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives for the International Nurses Day and International Day of the Midwife. So fantastic. Look, give life. That's what they do, and look after life. So fantastic. Your daily program, National Talk Black, and live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for National Talk Black. And a big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service, who puts National Talk Black across the country. National Talk Black.
first came a stranger's hand, was a wild Kentucky man. I said, Governor, why don't you just leave me alone? I'm out of petrol, and I was just on my way home. I didn't worry about the prickles in the sand when I was chased by wild Kentucky man.
Have you heard about the Territory Stolen Generations Redress Scheme?
It's for Stolen Generations survivors who were removed from their families or communities in the Northern Territory, ACT or Jervis Bay.
It's a financial and wellbeing package for acknowledgement and to help with healing.
The scheme's open for applications now.
To find out more about the Territory's Redress Scheme, call 1800 566 111
or visit territoriesredress.gov.au.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Mwakaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Jenda Banapi Bamanda, Jenda Bakatjenda Bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM. BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying Yan up strong, and a big shout out to the NERS team. All right, NASDA, the fantastic NASDA Dance College, welcomes funding to address equity gap for First Nations students and enhance arts education, thanks to the early announced budget. And we're going to catch up a yarn there with the CEO of NASDA. It's Kim Walker. Kim's on the line. Kim Walker, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Ballot. Yep, I'm really good. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
I'm a non-Indigenous man. I'm African and Australian.
Okay, brother. Claim you. Thank you.
Adopted into several other families.
Oh, beautiful. Lovely. Thank you, brother. And look, fantastic. Money's a tool. It's come your way. Tell us about the funding that's coming to the arts industry as such.
Yeah, I think I love what you just said. Money's a tool. Money's not the end of everything, because if you don't have the programs and if you don't have everything in place, then it's not worthwhile having the money. Mm. But we're really happy. You know, NASA has been advocating for several years now with the government, with various governments, about the lack of funding for NASA and for the Arts Aid body as a whole.
Good.
And we're very happy. We did a sustainability review, Minister Burke. Asked for a sustainability review on all of our organisations.
Yes.
And those results were taken to government, and we're very happy that we've got an extra uplift of funding of $13 million over 4 years for NASA.
Fantastic.
Which really allows us to take NASA to the next step, which we're really excited about. We'll be able to do some new programs, so forth and so on. So it's a really good indication of the government support for NASA and for the arts.
And when you look at it, arts, we talk dance, we talk stage, we talk the industry behind that, whether it be lighting and what have you, and marketing. It's a fantastic platform as such for our First Nation people to engage in the arts and go into different industries. But we are storytellers, and we use dance to tell our stories. So it's a great vehicle in that sense as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's been a lot of growth in the last 10 years of First Nations in terms of, you know, development in all of the art fields, especially behind the scenes like stage management, set design, costume design. You have a wonderful organisation up in Queensland called Black Dance, which is like kicking amazing goals.
Yes.
But it's acknowledged that there's a lack of, you know, stage managers, set designers, costume designers, you know, producers and so forth and so on. So we're really happy that we're going to be able to work in that space with those organisations such as Black Dance as well. So that's really exciting.
Look, I know that NASA do a lot of work. You're based in Sydney, but you do a lot of work across country and also remotely as well, especially up in Torres Straits. So this gives it a greater opportunity now for your students and to branch out and go to traditional owner groups and have those conversations and get permission and share stories and educate the students as well regarding the culture, brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're actually in the planning stages. We're going to Moa Island in August.
Yes.
So we're going up on country there to go and sing and dance and weave and fish and do lots of different things, which will be fantastic. Because going on country for our students who, you know, come from all over Australia, you know, haven't been on country. A lot of them haven't been on country. So it's a real learning experience for them. It really gives them a cultural, you know, grounding in themselves. And it gives them inspiration for when they want to create work as well.
And when you say create work, with those conversations with the elders and with traditional owners, there's a protocol and there's permission and there's responsibilities.
Absolutely.
And all that comes into play too, doesn't it, Kim?
Absolutely. Well, when we're at training at NASA, we don't just teach people to dance. We teach them all about the cultural intellectual properties, what you have to do, how you have to kind of go through a process and go through proper protocols when you're creating work, and acknowledge the people that you're drawing your inspiration from. So there's a whole rounding of things that we do at NASA, and that's just one of the things that we do as well.
Can you paint the picture, the journey as a student, maybe up at Torres Straits or out at Cloncurry, for example, and they apply to audition? Is that the process? And when they get selected to become a NASDAQ student, tell us the journey and how long they do it for.
Okay, so we have, if anyone wants to audition for NASDAQ, you just got to go onto the, you know, just Google NASDAQ, N-A-I-S-D-A, go onto our website, and you'll see audition for NASDAQ, and you can just kind of enroll online, which is really fantastic, to come and do an audition.
Mm-hmm.
AbStudy pays for, we have auditions once a year or twice a year. We have one on-site at NASDAQ, and then we have another one later in the year.
Okay.
And AbStudy pays for people to come down for 4 days, and we take them through the you know, through the paces. We see them dance. We have interviews with them. We do all of that, and then we offer positions for, you know, the following year in 2025.
Good.
So, and then, you know, there's 4.5 years of study at NASDAQ.
Okay.
So you start at the first three level.
And it's a paid position?
Sorry?
Paid positions, yep.
They get funding from AbStudy to attend.
Yes.
There's no course costs, so it's absolutely free, which is fantastic.
Good.
Because it should be free.
Yes.
You know, so should universities, but that's another whole story.
Yes, Kim.
but it is free, and, you know, the board is very adamant about the fact that it has to be free for our students.
Sure.
So it's across the boards, it's equal, which is fantastic. And it's a really great opportunity if you love dancing or if you want to be in the arts to come to NASDAQ and experience that because, you know, we have the majority of dancers in Bangarra are all from NASDAQ.
Yes.
You know, the artistic director, Francis Rings, is a NASDAQ graduate. And, of course, we've got the wonderful Karul Dance Company, which is in Queensland as well, based in southern Queensland. And they're the two creators of that, Thomas E.S. Kelly and Tari Sansbury, are both NASDAQ graduates as well. So there's lots of work out there and opportunities. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to dance as your career.
Sure, exactly.
And to work in the arts as your career. So, you know, it's a great opportunity. So we encourage anyone who wants to come and try. You don't have to have previous dance experience.
Okay.
Come to NASDAQ and give it a go.
Good, fantastic. And when we're talking dance, we're talking culture. Are there dancers at the table?
Absolutely.
Formats?
We do all forms of dance at NASDAQ. So we do cultural dance with our cultural tutors from MOA and from Northeast Arnhem Land.
Mm.
We also do, you know, urban dance, you know, like hip hop. We do ballet.
We do
contemporary Indigenous dance. We do anatomy. We do music. We do dance films. So they got to learn how to make dance films. So
like School of the Arts and Fame. Like School of the Arts and Fame, I'm picturing.
Absolutely. You've got it in one.
Yeah, beautiful. Leroy, yeah. Orin Cara, yes, bringing back memories.
Oh, my God, that's taking me back.
Shut up, too. Well, that's too deadly. Look, congratulations with your funding. Powerful, like I said, the money's the tool. Can help drive this vehicle, this industry further. Great for our mob, great for First Nation culture, great for First Nation people. And Kim Walker, keep doing what you're doing, my brother. Good yarning with you.
Thanks, fella. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, well.
Yeah, well. Bye. Beautiful yarn. Kim Walker, CEO of NASDAQ. And look, fantastic. Very exciting news. Receiving $13 million for the next 4 years to create a fantastic space opportunity for young black people to venture into the industry of the arts, whether you become a dancer or what have you. So do check out the NASDAQ webpage. And if you're looking at auditioning, then do it. And then there are 4 days, fly you down there, do the audition, interview, so to speak. And then if accepted, then 4 years, you're doing study, dance, and learning culture and getting paid to do it. Fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, yarning up strong here, baldy one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM, Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. National Talk Black.
Yeah. school be younger, I say also power.
Just walk this way. Shout in the world.